So, hey everybody, this is Stacy. We are pre-recording our show. I don't know what date I'm going to air this because I can't math it right now. It's not, right now it's the 7th of November, but this is going to play later. We're at QuickBooks Connect 2018. Woody's not here with me, but I have my friend Bryce Forney. He's going to help me do an interview. Let's start and we'll have our guests introduce themselves. So, Alex?
Hi, my name is Alex Barnett, and I lead the Intuit Developer Group.
And Joe.
I am Joe Lauer, and I'm CEO of Greenback.
Awesome. So I want to thank both of you guys for doing this on such short notice. Really appreciate that. Thank you, Mindy. She's also here, sitting in the background. Mindy King, thanks for putting this together. I'm going to start a little bit. I'm going to start with you. One of the things is I noticed a redesign with apps.com. What drives like that decision? What makes you guys say, oh, we need to, is it feedback that you guys are getting? What drives the redesign of the website?
Two or three different drivers for this time around. One of them actually was more of a, it's almost kind of urgent. Google has changed their SEO algorithms, dinging sites that are not mobile friendly.
Okay.
And yeah. Ours was not mobile friendly.
Okay.
And if you were trying to look at this on an iPad or on your iPhone or your Android phone, it was really kludgy. So that was one reason. And of course, being a critical property for us, we needed to get that fixed. So we got that fixed. So it's now mobile optimized, mobile friendly. Number two is we're going through a whole restacking exercise across the board and modernizing our technology stack. So that's something that we needed to do.
Okay.
And number three is that it provides some now foundational work to take apps.com and the apps tab, which is basically the signed in version of, right. Of it inside of QBO and QBOA, foundational work for us to be able to do a lot more interesting recommendations. AI powered, ML powered, you know, connecting the right customers at the right time, with the right apps.
Right.
And so a lot of that foundational work with the drivers as well. So mm-hmm. those three things combined, it's like, let's just get it done. We've got QBC coming down.
Right.
Let's get it ready for QBC. And over the next few weeks and months, we're just going to be keep plowing on now on adding more and more features and including back features that Stacey, that you called out just beforehand, the list all apps page, which the link has disappeared. So I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
Bring it back as soon as we can and make sure that we solve that immediate need for you.
Well, not just for me, but for other people too, because the all apps is really helpful if you don't really know. If you're new to apps.com, I think going to see all apps gives a really great way to see everything that's available and just kind of look at the big picture. So a lot of times I'll send that link to all apps to, or I would go and tell my clients, just go take a look and this is what the app ecosystem is. And we, Bryce and I, do a lot of training. We do webinars and we do a lot of face-to-face training for Intuit. So it's really helpful to be able to go point that out for people who are, you know, that we're trying to get to move online and who are new to that whole ecosystem.
And what a great example of Intuit's transparency for Alex to mention that thing that was discussed just prior to when this started.
And the responsiveness, which is what I love. So that's one of the things, my favorite things about working with Intuit as a company is you guys are very responsive and you do listen to what we say.
And it goes the other way, Stacey. You're awesome and the community is awesome at telling us what's not working and what could be better. And that's so valuable for us.
Very vocal.
Incredibly valuable for us.
Yeah, we can work on our delivery a little better.
It was great. So we're all in it together. And so that you just gave a couple of use cases that are great examples of how you're helping your small business customers understand what are the apps. And one of those views is, as you described, I want to see everything on a single page and sort by X, Y, Z. Beautiful. Thank you.
We'll fix it. Thank you for doing that. Appreciate it. Thanks all around to everybody.
Do we sing now together?
Yeah. Hold hands. So what else do you guys have coming on? So obviously you updated apps.com, but what else, what are some of the other new things coming from the developer team that you work with?
Yes, so we are about to unveil our new developer experience. Actually, if you go there today, you'll get prompted. If you go to developer.intuit.com, you'll get prompted with a modal that'll ask you if you're interested in checking out the new experience. And if you aren't, you can kill it, but you can go back if you do.
Okay.
And
so you have it for the developers, you have a whole new, like,
it's a brand interface. New end-to-end developer experience, okay, that is where our developers, so Joe, for example, and his team would have gone there to find the documentation, get, you know, access to the APIs, go through the entire publishing process. So we've revamped that, re-architected our navigation, but really critically, reorganizing our documentation, which we know has been a real challenge for our developers. And we've also been introducing additional content, something called accounting concepts.
And
accounting concepts is this response to what we're hearing back from our developers, which is, oh my gosh, all I'm trying to do is update an invoice. I don't know how to do it. I feel like I need to have a PhD in accounting in order to be able to figure out how to do a relatively straightforward thing. And so accounting concepts is another way for us to be able to help a developer in an engineering team who doesn't know about accounting.
Talk to Bryce and I.
Right? To
just
go
Bryce
and figure
and
out
none
what
of the
is
other
it that they need
I'm
to
just
know.
Kidding. Yeah, no, totally. I'm just kidding.
What is it that they need to know in order to be able to accomplish that task from an engineering standpoint?
And also, does it kind of explain, like, bill versus invoice, right? The vendor bill versus invoice? Because that's a very specific QuickBooks thing, right? You know, even with our clients, I have this invoice, and then we have to clarify, well, is it an invoice that you are sending to a customer, or is it something that you've gotten from a vendor? And so we have to teach them that terminology, I think, a lot of times. And so it's really, I love hearing that you are doing this for the developers.
So
that's great.
Yes, and just improve the learning curve. Just make it simpler.
Yeah.
Right? They don't need to know everything. And then the other piece is our new API Explorer that we're providing, which is going to make it even easier. Again, the same use case. I'm a developer. I just want to see the invoice entity. What data do I need to get back and send in? What does it look like? And then what's really nice and kind of innovative around that is UI integration. So inside of API Explorer, there'll be a little button you can click, which then will open up the precise window inside a QBO where that entity will appear in your sandbox environment. So now the engineer is able to start doing the mental mapping between what's the end user experience within QBO and how does it relate to back to the data model, and simplify that learning process for the developer,
you know,
as well.
I think we'll, when we want to play around with the API, I think that'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just want to, like, mess around with stuff.
Right.
Real quick.
Yeah.
And so that's a great tool.
That's awesome. So you guys haven't had a chance to use it then? Are you?
I don't think you've launched.
No, it's still.
Oh, okay.
Should be fully rolled out. So
okay.
We're starting to allow some developers to be able to play with it, get some early feedback before we really roll it out to the general community.
I mean, I noticed the UI looked different, but that's not the full developer experience yet.
No.
Okay.
No.
Accounting concepts. Does is it just documentation, or is the API actually change too?
It relates to the API. So we will speak about an accounting concept as we just talked about,
mm-hmm,
and then it'll provide the related API reference documentation so that you can then get back to that entity precisely and then to the API Explorer.
Okay.
So it's all about simplifying and
mm-hmm
speeding up and improving the developer productivity. Life's hard enough without having to try and figure out, you know, deep accounting concepts.
Yeah.
So talking about developers, pretty much anybody that has an idea for an app and the means to do it can develop an app that talks to QuickBooks, right?
That's
like, if we decided we had the most brilliant idea in the world, Bryce and I could develop an app and go to, is it developer or developers.intuit?
Developer.intuit.com, or if you just Google
Intuit developer.
You'll land there. But that's why we have the hackathons.
Ah, let's talk about hackathon. That was like last week, right?
That's right. We kicked off QBC with a 2-day hackathon at our house. at Intuit.
At the mothership.
At the
Intuit mothership.
At the Intuit campus in Mountain View, we had 220 developers show up.
220?
That's crazy.
Wow. Wow.
220 developers show up, who formed then 35 teams to then pitch their idea for an app, and we gave away $5,000 to the winners.
That's awesome.
And it's a combination of CS students, MBA students, entrepreneurs, accountants, pro advisors, existing developers that are thinking about another idea, and they crank for basically 27 hours nonstop. We feed them, we provide them beer,
caffeine,
food, tons of caffeine. We provide them dinosaur costumes. We provide
them
drone races and robot races and all the rest of it, and just make it entertaining and fun.
Right.
But ultimately, you know, the goal is build an app or create an app that connects with QuickBooks. So one of our one of our API partners, Google was there, Box was there.
Oh, cool.
A couple of others, Nexmo, Clarify. And build something that is going to solve a real meaningful problem for a small business. Share it with the judges. They'll get excited. They'll select you as the winner. And this is the fifth one that we've done now in Mountain View, or in San Jose. Keeps getting bigger each year. We had one in Sydney earlier this year. We had one in London in February. Two of those, the winners from there, were born as concepts and turned into companies. Two of them showed up into our App Showdown contest.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Earlier this week. And so what's really exciting about that is that we're building out this innovation pipeline.
Right.
Or folks, going back to what you were saying there, Stacey, just to kick off this part of the conversation, it's like, you know, if you and Bryce have an idea about an app, right, a hackathon is a great way to be able to really focus in on the problem,
right,
get the technical support of everybody that's there, because you're going to ask a whole bunch of questions,
right,
and get to a certain point with purpose and be able to demonstrate as a way of being able to do that. And anybody, back to answer your question, anybody can go to developer.intuit.com and build an app, integrate it with QBO, and then go through the whole publishing process and then eventually end up as an app on apps.com.
That's awesome.
Have you never used a sandbox?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, that's one of the best features of...
I know.
I have a question. Why are you limited to five? Why is the... You only have five sandboxes.
Because six would be too many.
Good answer.
I don't know why. You know what? I end up having a lot of emails. I gotta sign up like 20 times for.
How many would you want, Joe?
Unlimited.
Unlimited.
Course. Yeah. Why any limits?
I think I'm not gonna make up an answer.
Well, you can't delete them. Is the actually?
I don't.
Oh, you can't delete the.
So you use up your five, and then you're toast. You gotta create another email and create
another
five.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's
And that's I mean, you guys are serious, right? You're on our platform.
Yeah.
You're doing real serious developments and all the rest of it. I think probably one of, and I'm guessing here, but I suspect it's something to do with resources, literal compute resources.
Yeah.
That there's probably some kind of limit that we provide. Have you asked if you were able to get more?
Oh, there's FAQs about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's take that offline. I'd be interested in seeing if we can up the limit on that.
Yeah.
Not just for you guys, but I'm just kind of interested
just
in
general.
Why do we have that limit?
I bet most developers have the same thing. They probably create a bunch of emails. Yeah,
it's probably to keep the people who aren't really serious about it. Like, you were a featured app, and we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
Greenback was a featured app. You're, you know, not just messing around. Like,
sure.
You know, so maybe it's to keep things legit.
We don't need to keep
I know. So App Showdown. Let's talk about the winner and what does that app do?
The winner is a app that got published on our on our app store since August. So there were 120 apps that went live on our app store since August. All of those qualified.
120 since August?
Yeah.
Like a couple months ago, August, or August of 2017?
August of 2017.
Oh, I was going to say, holy shit, that's a lot of apps in 2 months.
Yeah. And each of those then are qualified to enter the App Showdown contest. And then we have a whole process of accountants and customers going off and voting for which ones they think are the best. And 10 finalists then make the App Showdown.
Right.
And they get invited to QBC
to
pitch 3 minutes each to our judges in front of a live crowd of accountants and small business customers
That's
and
tough.
Intuit
three
execs
minutes, man.
And all the rest of it. And
it's
we
hard
get
to
them,
get stuff across in 3 minutes.
We do tons of coaching with them and rehearsals over weeks and weeks and weeks to help them fine-tune their pitch, get really boil it down to the essence. It's hard. It's nerve-wracking for them. But they get really excited, and it's a big deal. We get to celebrate at the end of the day. They're all winners, really. But one does need to win in the end.
And they get what do they get when they win?
And they win $100,000 to help them grow their business. Mm-hmm. And so we announced that at main stage. Sasan announced it. Everybody celebrated. They went up on stage. And the company is called Give. And what Give does is it's a really cool app. So small businesses want to be able to provide donations to charities.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to do that on a regular basis. But there's no easy way for them to be able to do that.
Okay.
And that's the problem that Give solves.
Okay.
So you as a small business owner
mm-hmm.
can use the app connected mm-hmm. to QuickBooks
mm-hmm.
to then select what percentage of your monthly revenue you want to donate to a charity of choice. Typically, it's about 1%.
Right.
And what the app does then is calculate what that percentage is because it's looking inside a QBO.
Right.
And then through payment processing, automatically then
sends
the payment direct to the charity of choice.
So it can be whatever charity you want.
Yeah, I think they've got it's several thousand charities on their platform to be able to select from.
Okay.
And what's also nice is that you will get an email
mm-hmm.
as that small business owner a couple of days before it happens to say, hey, this is what we're going to send. If you're still comfortable, don't do anything. If you want to change it for this month, like things are a little dry on the sales side of things, I may skip it.
Right.
I might make it 0.5% instead. Right. Or no, I'm having a glorious month and I'm feeling very generous. I'm going to bump it up to 3% for this month.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
It's awesome. And it provides the kind of capabilities that companies like Intuit, for example, is, you know, we do lots of, you know, do good stuff, right? And charity. And we have infrastructure and a whole bunch of people taking care of it, the rest of it. Not for the small business.
Right.
So we make it dead easy for them. And what's really nice is that all the tax calculation is done for you at the end of the year because it knows
what
that
you've given.
There you go.
So this is really great because I actually have a client in Chicago who he has a separate checking account that he calls his tithe account. And so he has an automatic transfer from his operating account every month to put into that so he can use that for charity purposes.
Right.
So this is like perfect for him because he's got all this money and he's like, I really don't know what to do with it or how to get it to whatever charity and I don't know which charity. So this is perfect for him. I'm really excited to hear about that. I can't wait to tell him.
So that was Give, and they're the winner of the App Showdown.
So they get $100,000
to do this. So they got $100,000, and when Sasan asked them what they're going to spend it on, he said cheeseburgers.
Yeah, he really begged the question a few times, but Sasan drove right in.
Yeah, and he's like, no, really. I love that Sasan was like, no, really. What are you going to spend it on? So, and he did say marketing and development.
In
so,
the end, he was pressed. Yeah. He was pressed.
That's a really hard situation, though. You're on stage in front of 4,000 people. And
a lot of
cheese. Yeah, and you're like, what are you going to spend it on? It's just like, I'm going to Disney World. You know, like, what are you? I totally get, like, that stress level. So I know you had a question.
Yeah. Yeah, so Sasan had mentioned yesterday now 600 apps at apps.com. And for the pro advisor community, while it's great to have all of that choice for those vertical market solutions, it can be overwhelming, especially for somebody who's new to what app do I choose. Is there data available in terms of, I think ProAdvisors would be comforted to know that of all the apps that are out there, maybe 20% of them are getting 80% of the use or something, just so that I'm not thinking as a ProAdvisor, I need to be an expert in 600 apps. Or some, can you speak to the...
The connections, like where are all the connections and the subscriptions? Yeah. Like, is it a small percentage that has the majority, or is it evenly spaced, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great question around...
And if you can't tell us, it's okay.
Well, I
mean, if you're like not allowed, I don't know if it's like internal.
The distribution of connections, frankly, will happen with the very largest partners that are on the platform, right? The obvious candidates. I mean, you've got millions of PayPal customers out there. You've got millions of customers on these large platforms, and the natural overlap that occurs is pretty significant.
That makes sense.
And then depending on which industries you're talking about and then which geographies you're talking about, the distribution, you know, kind of looks like the classic long tail across there.
Okay.
What ProAdvisors do, back to your point though, Bryce, is want to know, the ProAdvisors and the accounting community, is which ones can they trust? Which ones do they know are going to really solve the problem well and not cause more headaches?
Right.
And worse, make the ProAdvisor potentially lose trust from the small business because they've recommended an app that isn't fantastic or is causing problems.
Exactly.
There's lots to do and lots of opportunity for us to do that. We're working with the Arisia's team, for example, who is the accountant segment. We work with ProAdvisors. We work with folks like Stacey, with Heather and others who, as part of the community, are doing a lot of the curation, like the reviewing of the apps, which ones is working.
Right.
And then we need to systemize that and make that even easier for the, I mean, now hundreds of thousands of accountants on our platform to be able to have curated lists where they know that that app is going to be a good one to recommend, that they have the access to the education material to know what does the app do, why is it good, why is it different to some of the others. We can do things like, and we do, recommended apps and curated sets of apps through the Accountant Apps Program, which is now the reseller program that we have for accountants for third-party apps. A whole bunch of education and quality control that we do around that. We have accountant-ready apps for the rest of the community and QBOA apps tab. So to acknowledge, I think, the point that you're making, Bryce, that we need... There's a huge opportunity for us still to do a better job on educating the entire accounting community about which are the right apps, which are the ones that your peers, other fellow professionals that really know their stuff, that they are recommending to the rest of the community.
Dan, it's good to hear that at least you recognize it is about that trust. I mean, that hits the nail on the head where... We have to know because we're going to be the ones that get the call if something's not quite right,
right
with the small business owner. So at least that you recognize that.
Yeah, and it's we've talked about this, and Heather and I talk about this. Heather Sandler and I talk about this all the time because she writes the last couple app training courses she's written. I've looked at it, and we discuss this all the time. Her and I both really want to teach other ProAdvisors, other accountants how to pick. The process to find and pick the best one, but what it comes down, what we keep finding is at the end of it, we can spend 90 minutes doing a session or 100 minutes doing a session, and they just come back and they say, but which app should I use for this? They just want to be, a lot of them, not all of them, it's a sweeping generalization, but at the end, they just will say, just tell me which app to use. And that's a really difficult thing to do because not every app is the perfect solution. I mean, the example I always give is Expensify and Tally. They're both amazing expense reporting apps, and they both do almost exactly the same thing. Bless you, Mindy.
Thank you.
But like, I will present both of them to a client, and they'll say, well, Expensify gives us the reporting that we need, but the people that need to use it every day prefer the interface for Tally. So sometimes it comes down to just simply what it looks like. So it's really hard just to say, use this one. I have one more question, and I want you to answer it, and then I want Joe to answer it, and then we'll start talking to Joe. And what is your, and I know I think I asked you this the last time we talked, so I thought it would be interesting to come back to see if that has changed, but your point of view on automation and how it relates to us as accounting practice professionals and like the future of our practices. Like, what do you guys see? Just what's your point of view on that automation and what we need to do, what you think we should as pro advisors should really kind of be focusing on?
And so it's so interesting. It's just so related to the conversation we just had around this. So we fundamentally believe, and we're seeing it happen, that the economy is getting automated.
Yeah.
And the layer of AI and ML as a next wave of technology, as big and as profound as the advent of the internet and how that's changed the economy, AI and ML are taking that to the next level, and it's going to accelerate, and the change is going to be dramatic. That will, we believe, and speaking to the accounting community, tell us that they have naturally concerns about the impact that that's going to have to their business. I mean, just to put it in the most basic, obvious terms, if I'm getting paid to do work that a robot can do, what am I going to do?
And my theory on that is somebody always needs to babysit that app. I don't care what it is. A perfect example, I was talking to, I don't even know who it was. It was somebody the other night at the Intuit thing. I went, maybe David Bergstrom. I don't know who it was. But anyway, we were talking and I said, you still have to have somebody looking at the stuff. And the reason why is we just had a situation where we imported the CSV into the bank feeds to QBO. And in the CSV, there were two transactions that never showed up when we went to the bank and just looked at the bank feed on the bank directly on the website. We even searched for the two transactions. So they show up in the download. So there's still that room for error. And that's what I'm talking about. Until we know that the banks never screw up and the app connection never gets broken or whatever, I think we really don't have that much to worry about for a while, because there's, you still have to have that a little bit of that oversight.
So I'm with you. I think there is, though, just to counter that a little bit.
Yeah.
That time will come faster than we expect.
I agree, it's coming.
And I think the challenge is going to be, for anybody actually out there in an economy where they are facing, effectively the work is going away because of full automation, is how do they then provide value at the next level, at the next layer? And, you know, Stacey, the pro advisor community and the accountant community are incredibly well positioned to be able to provide that additional value to their customers as true trusted advisors. And in the space, the way that we look at it, as in the, and from my point of view, with Joe, for example, here as a third party developer, very good one, successful on our application, is how do we enable the accountants to play that role in the context of technology advisor as well?
Right.
Right.
Exactly. And again, that's why we want to keep teaching people how to pick the apps. Totally. We don't want to just tell them these are the ones to use. Again, it goes to, we want to teach them how to vet them, how to test them, have a criteria for what the client needs.
How to get them set up. Right. How, and what, you know, because that's what the small business cares about. I want to do less work.
Right.
Around managing my finances and all the rest of it. If you as an accountant, as a pro advisor, are able to make awesome recommendations of amazing applications and it helped me get set up safely and in a way that's going to save me time.
And works perfectly for my business.
Oh my God, thank you, pro advisor. You know, just saved me like 2 days a week.
Right.
Right. Or 2 days a month or whatever, then I can now spend at home with my kids, right? Instead of doing all that work of managing the receipts that's killing me and driving me nuts. So that's how we look at the opportunity, that the role and the evolution of the role. And we see how can we help our accounting community become those trusted advisors.
Right.
And ultimately, in the case of my perspective, one of those is how do we help them do so with third-party apps, connect the third-party apps to those small businesses. So
yeah, and I think, well, being an automation app, I'm kind of probably helping push this along.
Yeah.
I view it as a tool.
Right.
Right? And you need to know how to use the tool. So you bring up AI, machine learning, et cetera. You still have to train it, though. Machine learning only works when you have a model. Someone's got to build the model, right? And so you do it by crowdsourcing things, or this person does it this way, categorizes this way. But at the end of the day, every business is unique. And so I think that's where the pro-advisor, bookkeeper, et cetera,
come in.
I think that's the – and I actually think it cuts out all the unfun stuff, and you actually get to focus on the really strategic things.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I almost think you provide more value in the end. You
know,
You're not just taking a picture. You're not feeding a receipt in a scanner,
right?
Okay, and wasting 10 minutes of time doing that. You're figuring out, you know, how to best get it on the books, or does it affect cash flow, et cetera.
Right.
You know, you're a little bit more strategic rather than just, you know, doing something really repetitive.
I agree. I love that. So speaking of that, Joe.
Yes.
Thank you, Alex. I really appreciate all your time. Kind of focusing on Joe and Greenback. First, I want to tell us what Greenback is. What does it do?
So Greenback fetches itemized receipts, and we do it automatically from the source. So we don't, I mean, I hate to say what we don't do, but we don't do OCR. We don't take photos and try to use humans to transcribe them. We think the best way to do it is to just go get it from the source, keep it electronic, and then get it into a great format that you can use to do all sorts of cool stuff with.
So I want to give an example. So to put it in perspective, like real-life scenario, when I connected Greenback, I connected my Delta account, connected my QBO account. So what happens in historically, what's happened forever in my QBO is Delta comes in the bank feed. I have a bank feed rule set up. It automatically applies it. I don't ever see it in the bank feed. It's an auto apply, you know, auto add rule. It applies it to Delta Airlines. It applies it to travel. Gets posted. What you guys did was you went in and you connected to Delta and you looked at all that stuff, and then you went in and found Greenback, went in and found all of those Delta transactions that were already in my general ledger. You added the receipt from Delta to the transaction, and you split it up into line items.
Yeah. Yes.
And gave me all the details about the transaction, the receipt number, like everything, so it was all right there. So it was...
It's like the holy grail of data.
It's
literally
freaking brilliant.
There's no more data you can get.
Yeah, and it's awesome, and it also does it with Amazon.com. So a lot of a struggle that we have, like Bryce and I have, is Amazon comes in, and we have to sort of rely on our clients to say, oh, yes, this was a business expense, instead of, you know, like the other day, I ordered 2 bottles of Green Goddess salad dressing.
Clearly a business expense. Right.
But, like, with Greenback, it's going to look at that, and it's going to split it out. And so now I can see, oh, no, this definitely is not an office expense.
Right.
This should be posted to owner distribution, owner draw, if I'm the pro advisor. So I absolutely positively love Greenback.
Is Greenback adding the source document after the fact to an existing transaction?
It can.
Or
either way.
Is it okay?
So we spent a very decent chunk of time actually getting that to work. So either direction, you can do bank feed first in QuickBooks, and then Greenback will find a match, and then we enhance the existing transaction.
Yes.
Or the opposite, where you use Greenback first, and then the bank feed just
matches
shows a match.
Yep. So it does it either way, which is freaking
awesome.
Brilliant. I love it.
Yeah.
How did you guys get – you guys are Michigan-based, which I love.
We're
so everybody – the audience pretty much knows I live in the Enchanted Mitten. And
my parents live right by you.
Yeah, right around the corner from me. I know, right? I love it. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Like, how many apps are in Michigan? None.
I think we're the only one.
Right, seriously.
I'm pretty sure.
So how did you guys get started?
I was between companies, and I was using QuickBooks, and I was downloading the bank feed, and it was Amazon. I'm like, oh,
we've never seen that ever.
So then I opened up a new tab, went to Amazon, and I'm like, oh my God, they don't have a search, box on Amazon's order history. So then I gave up and I went to Gmail, and then I put the amount in, right? And then you know, sort through and all this stuff. And then Amazon doesn't include any information in the email. You know, they say, like, you ordered toilet paper, dot, dot, dot.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, what do you do? So it dawned on me that this is terrible. This is...
There's got to be a better way.
Like, everybody buys from Amazon. This must be a mass market problem. So that's actually what kind of inspired the whole thing.
Stop the madness. Yeah.
So we started, you know, toying around with fetching.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought in a good group of founders, like former Twitter people, former Yahoo people, and we were just, we kind of took more of an engineering, can we just do this?
Right.
Accounting aside, we didn't really, frankly, care about the accounting so much. It was more interesting.
Neither do we. Just kidding.
And it actually turned out to be a very challenging engineering problem. We were shocked at how tough fetching truly is. I'm sure you guys know on the bank feed side. Getting this data is very hard. It's not, you know, these companies, they don't, you know, it's not easy. That's why everyone does it.
Right.
And, you know, we looked at some other solutions out there, and I'm a big advocate. I still think taking a picture is a lot of work. Every actual small business we talk to, no one wants to do it.
Nobody wants to do it.
It's a
Bryce and I have this discussion about source documents.
Even forwarding emails is still work.
Yes.
Right? And then
you still have to click it a couple times.
Yeah.
It's more than people want
to
do.
You know, it's a communication problem to me too, is that you have the account, you have forwarding, you got pictures, it's a mess.
Yeah.
So we thought, heck, you know, you can just set it up. You spend the time to set it up and you can automate most of it. That's great.
Yeah.
That seems like a really good kind of value proposition.
I love it.
So
you guys were a featured app. We mentioned that, right?
Yeah.
What does that mean? You guys are featured, and we mean a featured app on apps.com specifically.
Well,
not just in general.
A lot of people asked me how we got into it, and I said, there's no trick. You just sort of, you know, Intuit kind of curates the stuff.
So you get told that you're going to be a featured app? You don't really
have
any...
No, we actually weren't even told.
Oh, okay.
Whether or not. We were going to a Chicago show.
Hey, that's right. Yeah.
And we're in the car driving there because it was only 6 hours. And
six. You're from Michigan. It should only have taken like four and a half.
Right. I flew there. It was like we hit a lot of traffic.
That was an important hair to split.
But
we just drive fast. Speed limits are a suggestion.
So
in
as
Michigan.
A startup, right? We love user data. So we get an email. I get a push notification every time a user signs up.
That is awesome.
Okay.
I love that.
And the when we get converted users to paid, it's like a special ring.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. That's great.
But we're driving there, and we just start blowing up. I mean, it was crazy. And Kristen Meyer,
right,
runs BD. The hell happened, you know?
Right.
So we're looking into it, and then we thought, hey, maybe something happened with
right.
You know, we've been chatting about stuff, so we contacted our person there, and sure enough, yeah, we were in the featured apps tab. So,
Alex, maybe you can chime in. How does that? Do you guys have somebody on the team who just says, hey, this is kind of a neat app, or they have?
It's a little more than that,
right?
A little more than that. We take a very data-driven approach about which apps we are pushing and recommending to our customers. We have something called the AQI, which is basically an algorithm that is taking in something like 120 different data points generated from our platform that would include things like average number of app reviews,
number of reviews,
number of connections, API calls that are failing, and that, you know, just as examples, that gives us an opinion, a point of view around what apps are working for our customers.
Okay.
And so in this example, you know, we would have selected Greenback as, let's try this out. The signals that we're seeing from the platform and the usage are those that merit us trying and see what happens. And so that's one example of when we see those signals, putting them as a featured app is one example, but then we've got in-product discovery,
right.
We've got a whole bunch of
right.
And then programs that we start then, once we start seeing those experiments are working and customers are connecting, and not only connecting, but they're staying with those connections, then we push them to the next level. And so that would have been an example. I like to think it was a surprise and delight moment for Joe, rather than a lack of communication on our
No. We're ecstatic.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That's what you want.
So that's interesting. So kind of all the planets sort of have to align. You have like a whole algorithm of like stuff that data points that you're looking at. So that's interesting because I had no idea. I didn't know if it was somebody who was like, oh, I think this is cool.
Yeah, we didn't know either. Actually,
yeah. So that's kind of interesting. We only have a couple minutes left. I don't want to keep you guys. I know I've kept you a lot longer than I had originally planned. New features for Greenback. Anything that you can't, I mean, sometimes you can't.
What
but
can
is there,
you talk about what, that you can't talk about right now?
I can't talk about our new feed. No. So at the show, so people love our app.
Right.
They love everything we do with the 30 vendors that we supported.
Right.
And the main feedback we got was, we want more.
We want more vendors, yeah.
And, of course, I always talk about quality over quantity. So what we did announce at this show is we do it out of email. So
okay.
We go ahead and sync your Gmail, Office 365, IMAP accounts. Again, I don't want you to forward them. I think that's a lot of work. We use techniques to figure out if it's a receipt.
Okay.
So we skip all the personal emails.
Okay.
We bring ones that we think are receipts into our product, and then we go ahead and parse them.
Okay.
And the other cool thing we do is...
Now, what if it's not something that should be there? Does it sit there and wait for us to do something, or do you automatically push it into QBO?
Yeah, great question. So what we do is we have kind of a fallback method if it doesn't parse into like our rich format.
Right.
And we create a partial transaction, which is things that we guess.
Okay.
Like grand total, date, vendor, for example. And then we have a workflow where you can convert them yourself.
Okay.
Just to kind of fill in the gaps if you want to.
Right.
The other cool thing about our email, which makes it unique, is we combined our fetching with email parsing. So a lot of emails don't really have that much information in them, but there is a link in the email.
Right.
Like point of sale systems is a common one. If you buy something, maybe there's a link to the receipt.
Right.
We go ahead and crawl it.
Oh.
And that's actually where we get a lot of rich data. And it's where our fetching infrastructure kind of combines with our parsing techniques. And it's a wow factor. I mean, when you see everything fly in, you don't even realize how many receipts are in the email.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people don't, but trust me, I do. There's a lot of shit there.
There is. And, you know, I think that's where it's heading. I mean, I think in 5 years, I hope we're not taking pictures. I hope that goes by the way of faxing.
Right. Although I still have some clients that fax. It comes right to my email.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever.
Okay. You know, hang on. 10 years then? No. I think if you can, you know, Square Terminals, Clover, Toast, I mean, all new restaurants, all new coffee shops, this is how they do it.
Yeah.
And I think it's so awesome. You set it up, you get your email every time you go to a Square Terminal, boom, you're getting a receipt.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That just comes in. So
I love it. Yeah. I have one more question for you. Do you, as you guys are relatively new to the apps.com, right? I mean,
we're only like a little over a year.
Right.
Year in.
So it's pretty new.
Pretty new.
Do you have any advice? Well, this isn't the last question. This is the second to last question.
Okay.
Do you have any advice for any new developers coming into the platform?
Yeah, you got to think about marketing ahead of time.
Ah, that's great.
Yeah. You guys were talking about how picking apps, recommending, pro advisor picks, all that stuff. I will say as a entrant into
And by the that, app, do you mean like who, what is your target market? What's your ideal customer? Is that what you mean? Or
yeah,
just marketing
that
in
plus,
general?
Even if you have the greatest app idea in the world, how are you going to find the users for it?
Yeah, they don't know that they need you. I mean, they don't know what they don't know.
And the only problem I have with curation to some degree, and it affected us to some degree when we started, is it's almost like an echo chamber in some ways. You know, this app, this app, this app, and then no one can discover the small apps, which may actually be
better.
Which
is why
better.
I love the all apps view on apps.com.
Because when we first launched our app, we were in the new apps section for maybe a week.
Okay.
And you got tons of signups, and then you dropped off the new apps. Nothing.
Because you're not in that new app.
So
yeah.
What we had to do is we had to go find QuickBooks users ourselves.
Okay. You guys found me.
We did. Mm-hmm. But we only did figure that out later, that that's a,
like, that's
marketing
a thing.
Technique,
yeah.
Actually. I mean, it's a way of trying to just get discovered. And then once you start getting traction, then it's a little easier. It kind of ramps up.
It kind of snowballs a little bit.
It does.
Yeah.
But you got to be persistent and keep at it.
I think that's a good advice in life. Okay, last question for you is, how much does Greenback cost?
Okay.
And do you have, like, some kind of accountant portal?
So we have three plans.
Okay.
There's actually a free plan.
Okay.
So for small users, we, since we're all automated,
right,
we can pass on the savings. So we do have a pretty good free plan.
Okay.
For users. So if you're doing under a certain amount of transactions, honestly, our free plan's fine. We don't even want to try to make money off you.
Okay.
We'd like you to grow, and if you grow, great. Maybe you convert down the road.
I love that.
Yeah.
Sort of a give to get, yeah.
And then there's a $15 plan, right? We don't charge per receipt. Again, we don't have any kind of, like, per receipt costs.
Like, not per transaction,
right.
Yeah.
So we, again, try to pass that on.
Right.
And then we just introduced a $50 plan.
Okay.
Which just has phone support and some kind of white glove support, which
nice.
Our higher volume users really kind of just, you know, they get an account manager,
yeah,
those kind of things.
And that's fair.
On the accountant side,
I don't know that you would need, like, an accountant portal, though, really.
We don't really need an accountant portal. We have account sharing on our product, which is how most accountants work with customers. And then we're looking at some Teams features down the road. But.
Well, because what I'm thinking is, what would be nice is for me to be able to just have that as part of my practice.
Mm-hmm.
And the client might not even know that I'm doing that and just say,
oh,
hey,
yeah,
you know, I have this accountant and I can just, like, to use a really great example of is Chronobooks does this really, really well.
Okay.
I can sign up for an account with Chronobooks. And I can add as many QBO subs that I want to back up,
mm-hmm,
you know, or accounts, as many QBO accounts as I want. So I can just offer that as a service. Oh, hey, we back up just, you know, for those clients who are freaked out about having,
right,
you know, whatever. And so it's like $10 per, like, it's like $10 a month, I think. I might be wrong, so I hope Nate.
Yeah.
If I'm wrong, sorry. But I think it's like $10 per, but that, something like that would be really kind of cool to be able to say, okay, here, you don't have to worry about it.
Yep.
We got this all taken care of and it's just part of the service that we offer. And the client may not even ever know, the small business may never even know that that's something that's connected. We're just pulling those transactions in and doing it that way.
Yeah, we do have we do have that already in our product. Where,
okay.
Where accounts can come in. They can pay for it on behalf or pass it through,
right,
how they do it. And then the client has, they don't have to pay. I mean,
right,
they can just use the service and share.
But
it
is
with
there
account,
like, one place where we could go, or do we, is it, because what I'm thinking is the login. Like, because there's some apps where it's very email driven. And
right,
so you have to, if I wanted to use a certain app and manage that for each one of my clients, I'd have to have a different email address every time I,
yes,
set it up.
You can log into our product with one email address.
And then have
manage multiple clients.
Okay, that's all.
They are all kind of grouped together right now, and that's what our Teams feature will do. It'll let you make workspaces.
Okay, cool.
And then you can just.
All right.
So that's kind of the clean version, and that'll come very soon.
Okay, cool, awesome. So I want to thank both of you. Awesome, thank you so much. That was super short notice. I really appreciate it, Alex, and especially even shorter notice for you, Joe. I want to take 1 minute and just thank our sponsor, which is Neat. I also want to thank Intuit for just being an amazing. They support us all the time. So always go to Neat and go to greenback.com, and we will not see you. This is going to play. Man, I don't know when this is going to play. So I will either hear you guys. We'll be here next week or we won't.
Okay.
And so I want to thank you guys again. Really appreciate it. And I'll give you guys the link when we're ready to go.